Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is the word of God to everyone that thirsteth, in Isaiah 55, the first three verses. To everyone that thirsteth, not for the waters or things of this world, material things, but the water of life. As David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, my flesh longeth for God in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Do you know anything about this thirst? Do you long to know the true and living God? Do you thirst for truth? Are you tired of lies? Are you tired of man's opinions, thoughts? Has religion made you sick with all its money-making schemes, all its fleshly entertainment, all of its obviously fake and phony facade of worship and praise, when it's just a show, just a big show, like a circus or a concert? Well, the scripture says, "Come ye, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." God's word is these waters. The water of God's word is for drinking. It's for thirst. Revelation 22:17 says, "Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." God's word, truth, is there for the asking, for the seeking, for the taking. Christ is the water. The Lord Jesus Christ is the water of life. He said this in John chapter 7. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, when everyone was coming back from Jerusalem and found nothing to satisfy their souls, to satisfy them, they found nothing but a facade of religion. A religion going through the motions, going through the ceremonies, going through the outward form. And Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Christ said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me," not to religion, not to the church, but to me. In John chapter 4, the Lord, he came to this well, the well of Jacob. He was sitting on a well, when in fact, he is the well. But he came. There's a woman who came to him. He had her brought to him. This is a woman he loved before the world began, chose before the world began. And he purposed this meeting, this moment in time where she would meet him and he would impart to her the word of life, the water of life. This woman was one who others shunned, but he loved. This woman was a sinner, a forlorn woman, been married 5 times. And in John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "She came to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, 'Give me to drink.' The woman said unto him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?' The Jews have no dealings with Samaritan. Well, Jesus answered and said unto her, 'If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.' The woman said unto him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. Christ is the water of life. Christ came to this woman and created in her a thirst for something she knew not, a thirst for something she had not, a thirst for something which Christ alone must and could give, and he did. He gave her himself, the water of life. Christ is the water. Christ is the water. And so Isaiah cries in our text in Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, the scripture says, come ye, buy and eat. Salvation's a free gift. It's not by works. It's a gift. It's not by your own conversation or life or what you do for God, but it's by grace. Come ye, he says, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and pride. Well, you say, preacher, it says buy. I thought it was free. Why does he say buy? Well, this is buy as it were on credit, another's credit. Have you ever bought something on credit and someone else must pay for it? Well, that's this salvation. It cost someone else dearly. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything. It cost him his very life. The Lord Jesus Christ paid salvation's price. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Jesus Christ paid that price. Not for all. No, sir. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to make an offer of salvation to anyone that would accept it. No, sir. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Jesus Christ did not come here to pay for the sins of all people in the world. No, sir. If that were so, everyone would be saved. Because Jesus Christ's blood put away the sin of whoever he died for. But he did that for some, yea, many. Those who believe, the scriptures describes them as though who believe. But that's not a price we pay. That's not of ourselves. Even that's the gift. All whom God chose and gave to Christ, Christ died for, and they will believe. They do believe. The Spirit of God moves upon them, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know who Christ died for. Those who believe, they believe by grace. They believe by a gift of God. They believe not by free will, but by free grace. They believe not of their own power and volition and will, but by the power and the miracle working grace of God in the life of a dead sinner. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. The one who bought, who paid for, who redeemed his people. His people were sold to sin, sold to Satan, sold to themselves, sold lock, stock, and barrel to this world. They had sold their souls to sin. In the Old Testament is a book called Hosea, the prophet Hosea. And in that is the story of God telling the prophet Hosea to go marry a woman of whoredoms. Yes, a harlot, an adulterous woman. And the scripture says this pictures the Lord's love for his people. Another picture, another of many pictures throughout the Old Testament of how the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem his people. The Redeemer, the great Redeemer of lost sinners. He came to earth sent by the Father, like the great shepherd, to find his lost sheep. He came to find his lost, forlorn bride, who, like this woman in the story of Hosea, whose name was Gomer, had sold herself to the world. She lived for, she loved the world, the things of the world, the people of the world. She loved herself. And she thought that the world and the people and the things were her lovers. She thought they gave to her all that she had. In our own modern vernacular or way of saying things, people say, I sure am lucky. Well, she thought the world and these things gave her pleasure, gave her things. But when the Lord, all along, it was the Lord who was caring for her, the Lord who was watching over her, providing for her. Then, after a time, in God's good time, in God's goodness to her, to bring her in Hosea, it says, I will discover her lewdness to her. I will discover her nakedness to her. I'll bring her to the point where she sees herself for what she really is, a forlorn, adulterous woman who sold herself to things and other people. And her name was Gomer. She's all used up now. She's poor and needy. She's ugly because of sin. Ugly to herself. Unappealing to anyone else. Guilty, vile, helpless, hopeless, on the auction block. And Hosea, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ, comes along and says, I'll buy her. I'll purchase her. So he did. He bought her. He purchased her for himself. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ came for. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for his people. Like Jacob, who worked 14 years for Rachel, his bride, the Lord Jesus Christ lived 33 years here for his people, satisfying the law of God on their behalf as their substitute, as their covenant head. Second Adam from above, who lived perfectly according to the law, because his bride did not. She did not. And he glorified God. And then the penalty, the price that sin must be paid is death. Christ went to the cross and paid for all the sins of all of God's people. And all of God's people shall be saved. And then he rose from the grave, proof of that payment. Proof that payment was accepted by God. And he ever lives to ensure that they all come home. Well, he says, come, buy wine and milk. Wine, scriptures doesn't forbid it, but rather commends it. Jesus Christ drank it. Paul urged Timothy to use it. Wine represents the blood of Christ. Medicinal, nutritious, calming, soothing, making glad the heart. The blood, the redemption that's in Christ. And milk, yes, that's the Word of God. The milk of God's Word, what babes are born loving and needing. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money and price. Come ye. Oh, may you hear this Word. Amen.